This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And it's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. But as has become traditional in the past few weeks, before we get to questions, by the way, radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. We're going to tackle some of the current events in the world of health. And what is the overarching concern is coronavirus. So, you know, just I'm reading the headlines on Drudge. DrudgeReport.com, which are kind of alarming. Italy's lockdown upends most basic routines and joys. They're in a complete lockdown there.
Yeah.
Airlines are trimming their capacity. Not enough kits. For testing, nursing home unable to diagnose 65 workers with symptoms.
Yeah.
Apparently, the number of patients in the United States who've been tested number in the kind of low to mid thousands, when it may be that hundreds of thousands and millions of people are going to be affected. We seem to not have enough test kits. I wouldn't know what to do. Somebody came in like with all the hallmarks of coronavirus into my office. Well, first I would, you know, probably, you know, stand on the windowsill and, you know, talk through the window here on the 14th floor. But the
don't jump, Dr. Hoffman. Yeah. Don't jump.
Yeah, but I wouldn't know where to send them. You know,
to the hospital.
We send them to the hospital, but for minor symptoms, it's probably not a good idea to go to the hospital.
Go home.
You know.
Self-quarantine.
It's self-quarantine.
Yeah.
And then if you want to get tested, and, you know, not everybody who has a cough or a sneeze. By the way, you know, here's another interesting thing. It's starting to be peak allergy season in New York. The trees are bare.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, there's a air current that's coming from the southern parts of the United States where a lot of trees and weeds, not necessarily weeds, but trees at this time of year. So a lot of people are sneezing and blowing their noses, and they don't have coronavirus.
No, they don't. They have
allergy. They just need an allergy pill. They need some Zyrtec or some Allegra.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, or Dehis.
Or, you know, stop eating dairy and wheat.
Right.
There's all kinds of mayhem going on. You know, we're getting a lot of questions. It's a lot of people using a lot of hand sanitizer. It's impossible to get hand sanitizer.
Use soap and water, folks.
I'm going to websites and, you know, just for example, Ester C, back ordered on Fullscript, which is our dispensary. Olive leaf extract, back ordered. Zinc lozenges, back ordered.
Oh, wow. Is oregano?
N-acetylcysteine available.
Oh, good.
A product that I like, which is a mushroom extract, Pro Maitake, available. Oregano extract, back ordered. Black elderberry, back ordered. Not all brands, but I'm just saying, going through a sort of a sampling of things. These are all plausible things that we can use against the virus. But there's been a run on these products. It's like there's a run on hand sanitizers and alcohol and wipes.
Yeah.
Even toilet paper. And, you know, there's talk about closing down the New York City subway system. But just talk.
Take my bicycle
in. It's not going to, it's probably not, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
You know,
the headline is they're going to do it. Mm. But it's just, they're just talking contingency plans.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, I was about to wipe my nose here, but I'm going to.
There's a Kleenex
No, I'm going to, you know, I'm getting in the habit of not touching my face. You know, there's a lot of questions about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answers. I don't think anybody knows the answers. Mm. We'll have to see how it plays out. But let's start with some questions about the coronavirus.
Yeah. Would you have, Karen is asking, would you have any specific recommendations for seniors or those with asthma or severe asthma?
Those are people who I think they should be in kind of a self-imposed isolation.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have to say, we have to weigh the potential downside of that mm-hmm. against the upside of protection. And we don't know ahead of time because this all may be a flash in the pan and then maybe these precautions are excessive. That's one of the intangibles about this. Mm-hmm. But these are people who are particularly vulnerable. By the way, in Italy, there were a lot of people who died. 435 mm-hmm. as of last night.
Wow.
Average age? Mm. 81.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So I was reading a story about the first death in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, oh, it's horrible. It's like this virus is killing people now. Here's the story, if I can find it, that the guy had some pretty substantial underlying health problems.
Okay. And that's a backdrop for not a great outcome.
New Jersey coronavirus death. Well, they attribute the death to coronavirus, mm-hmm. but here's the story. The guy had, he'd had some contact with the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. He was going back and forth from New Jersey to New York. 69-year-old man, so relatively young. I mean, that's getting kind of close to home. I'm 67. Mm-hmm. The man who died had a history of diabetes, hypertension, atrial fibrillation, gastrointestinal bleeding, and emphysema.
Oh.
So this guy was at very high risk of dying. So now they're going to say his death was due to the coronavirus. But what was the chance, what was the likelihood that this guy was going to make it for another 5 years anyway?
True.
With all these underlying health conditions.
True. A little self-disclosure here. My sister was planning to come over to New York from Geneva, Switzerland to visit, but because our mother is 84 and with COPD, decided it wouldn't be wise. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just in case.
Just in case, because she'll be
just
on a plane. You know,
so we'll be WhatsApping a lot.
Although Switzerland is not really a hot zone.
No, it's not.
You know what's interesting?
But they've banned large events over 1,000 people.
Germany.
Yes.
Has very few events. Hmm. And, you know, part of it is they have a really very elaborate tracing system there.
Yeah.
They really keep track. You know, so they're sort of, in an epidemic like this, there's a point where it makes sense to do containment. Mm-hmm. And then the cat's out of the bag. So how are you going to contain it? If it's like the Black Plague, what's the point in, like, you know, finding out, you know, where it came from? It's rampant. It's like in the population, it's cats out of the bag. Mm-hmm. But when there are a few isolated cases, you can undertake containment efforts such as they're doing in Italy and such as they're doing. Oh, by the way, they're now calling in the National Guard in New York.
Yes.
To go to Mount Vernon.
New Rochelle. Okay.
New Rochelle.
Yes.
New Rochelle, which is near Mount Vernon.
Right.
It's in Westchester County. And they're going to create like a, you know, like a moated city there or something, like dig a moat or something.
Can you imagine?
You know, throw toilet paper and provisions to the people who are, I don't know what they're
going
to
do. Hudson River on one side.
Right.
Moat around.
It's a scary prospect. But, what they've actually done some modeling, mm-hmm. and it's all speculative. It's kind of like modeling climate change. You know, it's like, we don't know. We don't know if it's
going to. Very speculative, yes.
But the modeling mm-hmm. suggests that an uncontained epidemic will show a big spike, a lot of people sick, a lot of deaths, and then it will die off. Mm. With these very aggressive containment efforts, there will be much less involvement, mm-hmm. but it's going to last longer. Mm. It's sort of like if you want like the steep Rocky Mountains versus some, you know, rolling hills of involvement. So these containment efforts are still underway. There may come a point where it's all about mitigation. Mitigation means let's get our best, our sickest people the right care in hospitals. Let's try and cope with it rather than mm-hmm. Do case tracing. But so far, in Germany, Germany's a model where it's really worked. Another place that's where it's really worked is Singapore. Singapore is right at the doorstep of China.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of commerce back and forth. They have very few cases there. But it's also, it's a kind of place where if you spit on the sidewalk, they put you in jail.
Totally.
You know, it's,
yeah.
They've got spotters. They have like, they regularly inspect the people to see if they have fevers. They're pulling people out who are sick.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, you know.
They're really containing it.
Yeah. Maybe it's not the kind of, you know, civil liberties picture that we would like to see happen in the United States. But under emergency circumstances, things can change.
True.
So the question is also, you know, will contain, you know, so containment versus mitigation. And then ultimately, in, you know, in retrospect, when this is all over, we'll say, was it worth the economic cost?
Yeah.
Was
because
it worth,
the economic cost is really now
was it worth,
something to think about.
Tanking people's 401ks? Was it worth putting some people out of business?
Yeah.
You know, some of these restaurants are running on fumes, Broadway shows, entertainment, conferences, hotels where expos are. You know, one of my conferences, I was going to go to Charlottesville, Virginia for a conference.
Yeah.
You know, I had to cancel. They said, you know, in the interest of safety, you know, don't fly in April. So I'm not going to go. I am planning a trip to the Caribbean this week.
Yeah.
Where I will, you know, I will be doing.
You'll be safe in the water.
I'll be underwater.
You'll be safe.
I don't know that the virus penetrates, you know, 50 feet of water.
Right.
You know, I'm hoping that that's going to be protective.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'll send some dispatches from there. But, you know, I'm taking the risk of being on a plane.
Yeah.
I looked, I noticed it's a full plane. Everybody's heading down there. By the
Good.
Way, there's also signs that in some of the warmer climes, there's less involvement. You know, Latin America is a tinderbox in terms of like poverty and in terms of close confinement. The healthcare systems are not that good. I'm not seeing this problem exploding in Venezuela or in Brazil or some of these countries where they really have very bad slums and, you know, very poor quality healthcare. I bet, you know, in Caracas, Venezuela, they don't have a lot of respirators. They don't have a lot of IV bags. They don't have a lot of basic medical supplies. So unless it's just a delayed effect, it's possible, one theory, is that as the winter months recede and as the temperatures warm, you know, as with many flu epidemics, that it could die down. But by no means, look, you know, there's that old commercial for Contact cold remedy.
Yeah.
A summer cold is an ugly animal. You know, remember that theme song for that? You have to be old enough to remember. A summer cold is an ugly animal.
No.
A mean old animal. And that was the theme song for that. And that, you know, you can get a cold in the summer.
Sure.
Many people will
And it
will
is
attest.
Nasty. Yeah.
So, you know, at least the vitamin D levels are higher in the summer. And maybe also the temperatures are less congenial to the virus surviving. And then they say sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Right.
Both really and metaphorically,
you get know, out in the sun.
Get out in the sun. So that's, I'm going to undertake that particular experiment next week for myself personally.
Terrific.
So, the, you know, in the aftermath, will those containment efforts be worth it? You know, all this. And, you know, the other thing is, we can't shake hands, we can't hug, we can't kiss.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
is there going to be an emotional cost? I mean, also, I think people are very anxious. And that in itself can be immunosuppressive and not good for health, not good for health at all. I mean, people are anxious about their watching their savings melt away and their 401ks that are dwindling.
Yeah.
Although, you know, hopefully this is just a temporary blip because it's not like.
And then you have the alarmist saying, you think this is something, wait till next month. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean,
sometimes that frenzy feeds on itself.
Right, there are always, you know,
there are more people
in every crisis,
ship.
There are always pessimists, and we've been burned before. You know, we had the Y2K crisis, you know, where we thought all those systems were going to break down.
Okay, I was actually on call for that.
And it, you know, and it didn't really transpire.
No.
So the other thing that we don't know is, are there pre-existing factors that make people more vulnerable?
Yeah.
Now, the obvious ones are, like, you know, you described being old.
Having pre-existing conditions.
Pre-existing conditions.
Like a COPD or diabetes or.
But also, a large number of people are on immunosuppressants.
Yes.
Will being on acid-blocking medication render some people more susceptible? We think it does make people more susceptible to gastrointestinal viruses, such as norovirus.
Yeah.
But that's because that's a gastrointestinal virus. This is a respiratory virus, so maybe not.
Hmm.
Smoking and pollution, you know, there was a big death toll in China.
Hmm.
But living in Beijing or Shanghai or some of these major cities with 10 million plus population and no pollution control, it's like every day is like smoking a pack of cigarettes a day.
That's
for
true.
Every single member of the populace
That's
in those
true.
Urban centers.
Yeah.
So will that be, will there be less of that in more congenial environments? You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying New York is, you know, wonderful air all the time, but better than some of those Chinese cities.
Yeah.
I think studies should be done. I mean, although it's a chaotic time, it's hard to do studies, but will studies be done to evaluate the vitamin D status or the zinc status or the selenium status or the glutathione status of people who get sicker?
Right.
And will it be demonstrated that some of those nutrients can be somewhat protective? By the way, I'm not pitching them as some bulwark against all misfortune.
But I think there will be more of a demand for botanicals.
And I went through some
headlines.
Of them, you know, AHCC, vitamin C, selenium, zinc lozenges, if you get a cold, they're somewhat helpful. You know, if you feel a scratchy throat, you can take some zinc lozenges.
Absolutely.
Olive leaf extract has some potent antiviral effects. Garlic, you know, we like the chiolic aged garlic extract. We like oregano, and one of our sponsors, Future Farm, makes a very good type of oregano. We like maitake mushroom extract.
Right.
These are some of the things that can be helpful. NAC, which is a supportive, it's a building block for glutathione.
Mm-hmm.
Black elderberry extract.
That's
elderberry,
helpful for flu.
Which is, you know, demonstrated to have an anti-flu effect, but also against coronaviruses.
Yeah.
So, and then also some of these traditional Chinese medicines, which I can't even pronounce some of the names of some of them. I'm not familiar with what goes into some of these concoctions, like 8-10 different herbs in a, you know, it's like a musical composition.
Right.
There's like a suite.
It's like a cocktail
of different things together.
Mm-hmm.
And these are formulas that have been tried and true over the millennia, where there were no antibiotics, no antivirals. And you know, many people, especially elderly people, got pneumonia and got respiratory infections. This is not the first time. This is a time-honored plague in China. You know, China is a place of... China is where the Black Plague probably originated from, you know, and that affected Europe. It just took longer for it to get there because it took a while to go through the Silk Road and then across, you know, these vast expanses of Central Asia. But now just one plane trip and boom, you know, Rome to New York and, you know, Beijing to Honolulu and so on.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are some of the plausible things that are helpful to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
The other, you know, other questions, will it figure in the election? You know, this is an election year.
Yeah.
Are they going to cancel all the rallies? Are some of the candidates going to get sick?
Ooh.
You know, those all the candidates are at a vulnerable age.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Trump is in the 70s. Biden is older.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie is 78.
Yeah.
You know, these are, I mean, and they're having a lot of contact. They're shaking a lot of hands. They're having sleep deprivation. They're exhausted. They're yelling at the top of their lungs. They're highly stressed. I mean,
a lot of cortisol.
Will it figure in the election? It could figure.
Sure.
Like, what about the conventions? You know, like all these people throwing, like, there are a lot of events being canceled. You know, South by Southwest is a big event in Austin was canceled this week. You know, all the big companies are canceling their big, Google is canceling.
Yes,
Amazon
Silicon Valley
canceling. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, you know, don't come to conferences, so work from home.
Yeah.
The other question is, will natural therapies help? Will IV vitamin C help? There are a few IV vitamin C trials in China, you know, for the sickest patients or just maybe for prevention. Something that you can get here on your own in the United States.
Mm-hmm. That's a powerful therapy.
And then
no matter what you have,
and then
vitamin C, IV.
Then there's also, you know, everybody's doing their own science fair project. I mean, like, what are you doing? Are you doing anything?
Well, I make sure to.
I mean, in terms of supplements.
Oh, in terms of supplements,
you're taking special supplements.
Yeah, I'm making sure I'm taking my D regularly. My D with my K2.
Right.
But I'll take a C and a zinc every day.
Okay.
At this point. So that's
but
in
you're
addition
not taking
to what I'm doing.
Like special elderberry NAC.
No, not unless I feel like I'm coming down with.
Well, if you were coming
anything.
Down, you would.
I was coming down, I'd be on it.
Do you have them stockpiled?
I have NAC.
Okay.
The elderberry, no, I don't.
It's get what I can.
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah. Well, I never did use hand sanitizer.
Right. Or I could sell you a couple of bottles. I have a couple of $200.
$200. You and Bezos. Oh, my gosh. Price gouging. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So anyway, so, I mean, like, we're here to answer your questions, radio program at AOL.com. But look, I mean, we just don't know which way this is going to go. Hopefully, we will see
hopefully
containment with these aggressive efforts.
Yeah.
And in a few weeks, we won't have to talk about this anymore.
Right.
On the other hand, this could expand.
Yeah.
And we could be, you know, in for a long siege.
Yeah.
Right now, it's
and
kind
the
of
economy may be
right
wrecked.
Now. It's kind of a ridiculous situation because I don't see anybody sick.
Yeah.
And we have a few reports of our patients being sick, but that's not different than before.
And I'm on the subway, and I don't see more masks than I did last week or the week before or anything like that.
And people are
or people wearing gloves.
People are going about their business. There are millions and millions of New Yorkers and consumers and commuters, and we have you can count on maybe there's I think 3-digit numbers of people who are affected in. That are confirmed to be affected. I think that's the tip of the iceberg because of the limited testing.
Yeah. Yeah. But my big question is, how come the flu has never gotten this much press?
Well, what'll be interesting, and I pointed this out, is it'd be interesting to see, after all these measures, if the flu is less consequential than it was in the past.
Huh.
Oh, here's another interesting sideline.
Yeah.
I came across an article. You know, a lot of people are going to say, look, I better get my flu shot now. I didn't bother until now, but I better get one now because it's going to be really confusing if I develop a fever and a sore throat and body aches. That's going to be a big mess. So I want to be protected against the flu, so let me get the shot now. There's an article that speculates that taking the flu shot interferes with one's resistance to the coronavirus.
Oh, my.
Now, again, that is one speculation,
so
and it's not... By the way, this is a scientific article. It's not an article that's like just a rumor mongering, you know, like.
So forget the ad of get your free flu shot here at CVS and Walgreens.
I'm just saying that
everywhere
we should be open to the possibility that the flu shot, doesn't protect against coronavirus,
right?
And B, might even, by some perverse mechanism, make one less susceptible to the flu, but more susceptible to coronavirus, which is a different virus. Doesn't cover the coronavirus.
Right, right.
But, you know, I can see the rationale. It's like, let's all get flu shots so that we don't get the flu, because it's going to be a mess if we see a lot of flu, and it's confusing. We don't know who has the flu or corona.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, let's pause because we want to divide our podcast into...
Oh my goodness, that was part one?
That was all part one. I hate it that coronavirus is eating up all our time, but we did answer one question, at least in part.
Yes.
So let's go to, in part two, what are we going to discuss?
What do you think of collagen peptides, Dr. Hoffman?
All right, that's a refreshing departure from... So at least when they lay you out in the casket, you'll have nice, plumped up skin.
Beautiful. Yes.
You'll be youthful. And that's a little dark humor. I'm sorry. I just go there sometimes. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.